All right, y'all, welcome back. Welcome back to y'all's favorite WMMA podcast, hashtag CB99 Talks. Of course, this is Combo Breaker 99. Back again, y'all. Welcome back. Been a crazy week, man. You know, a lot going on my side, you know, just holidays and business and other things too, man, you know. But, of course, you know, not too many fights, just the PFL this past Friday. But, yeah, been a crazy week, y'all, but I still been keeping up with the game. And, you know, still been being consistent. You know, I've been consistent with the videos. You know, there have been times when I was just kind of like out of it and just, you know, almost felt like I was neglecting y'all. But I've been around, right? Y'all can't complain. I've been on the channel a lot. So, yeah, man, welcome back, y'all. Before we get started, though, because we got a few things I want to talk about. You know, of course, you know, it is another fight week coming up. But there's just been a lot going on in the world of WMMA. And, you know, a few things I want to discuss and just kind of revisit again. Because, you know, that's what I do over here, you know, kind of look at different perspectives of, you know, different fighters in the game. So yeah, man, it's going down once again. So make sure y'all subscribe before we get into it. Subscribe to the show, hashtag CB99 Talks on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, anywhere you listen to your podcast, and especially on the YouTube channel. I appreciate, you know, the new subscribers that have been coming through, you know, done hit over 2,000, over 2K now. And I appreciate that, you know, because everybody's talking about, you know, WMMA not really having a platform. But, you know, I've been trying to give it one and promote a lot of these ladies on the come up, as well as the champions and the stars of the game, right? Because, you know, outside of my channel and only like a select few other channels out there, there's not really like a lot of places where you hear, you know, MMA fans talk about the women, right? Because usually when men hear about MMA, they just think about, you know, the men in the game. Hamzat, Oliveira, Usman, Izzy. That's it, right? So, yeah, man. So if you like the way I discuss it over here, you know, just keep on following and keep on subscribing. So yeah, man, today I got a few topics I want to discuss. I'm not going to really harp on a lot of them. You know, I don't want to spend like 2 hours over here today like I usually do, but we'll see how it plays out. First up, you know, I want to discuss PFL a little bit. I want to talk about Aspen Ladd and what I thought about her performance and what's next for her. All right, then I want to revisit the bantamweight and featherweight division, of course, because, you know, we have a lot going on as far as, you know, the wrong choices being made for the featherweights. You know, it seems like the featherweight division might be coming to a close. At the same time, the bantamweight division isn't really popping. So what are you to do right now, right? What are the fighters to do? And it seems like there's a lot of these women that want to fight but can't make bantamweight, you know, so they want to fight at featherweight, right? So they're stuck between a rock and a hard place right now. So we want to talk about that. Kayla Harrison, the Harrison hype. We got to discuss that. What's next for Kayla Harrison? Tyler Santos. You know, I want to talk about Tyler Santos and her strategy as far as trying to get a fight. We want to discuss that. And two fighters trying to make a comeback next year. Casey O'Neill and Tatiana Suarez. Got to get in on that, right? And this topic here, I'm not sure now. I don't want to, you know, push any rumors out there, but it seems like I missed a fighter in my who's next. Well, I didn't miss it, but, you know, because I was just choosing my select three like I usually do. But it seems like Marina Rodriguez has her eyes on a fighter that's out of the rankings, which I did mention. I just didn't know who it was, but we'll discuss that when we get to it. And last but not least, it's fight week. So, you know, I'm going to go through the fights that are going down just to remind y'all. But no predictions in this episode, just so y'all know, no predictions. I just want to hit y'all up, give y'all some reminders, some friendly reminders, okay? So, yeah, man, hope everybody had a good holiday. If you do celebrate Thanksgiving, you know, mine was pretty good for the most part, you know. But yeah, like I said, we didn't really have any fights this past weekend. You know, I watched a little bit of boxing, and, you know, I did catch up on the PFL card. And, you know, the PFL card was entertaining for what it was. You know, we have the up-and-comer Dakota DaChiva in the game. You know, she making some statements at flyweight. And like I said with her, you know, I just need to see a little bit more, just like any other fighter. I do like her stand-up game. I like her attitude. You know, I like how she markets herself, you know. So hopefully, you know, like I said with Dakota DaChiva, they can, you know, build up a division, not just around her, but build up a division period, you know, one that can test her and test other fighters and, you know, give us something other than Invicta FC that wants to, you know, push more women in the game that can, you know, eventually go to the UFC, right? But yeah, overall decent card, you know, not bad. But one of the fighters I'm going to talk about in this one that was making her PFL debut, of course, is Aspen Ladd. You know, she was able to get a close victory over Julia Budd. In my opinion, I thought Julia Budd did edge it out, but I'm not going to argue about it. You know, both fighters were kind of going tit for tat. Like I said, you know, I felt like this was going to be a fight where you would see moments where, okay, if Ladd gets it to the ground, it's her fight. If Bud keeps it standing from a range, it's her fight, right? And you saw a little bit of that from both fighters, but nobody ever really taking full control. You know, even Julia Budd, I thought she could have taken full control, her being a veteran, right? But she didn't edge it out. Aspen Ladd edged it out. So Aspen Ladd, I'm glad that she seems to found a home now. She kind of found her mindset. You know, she seemed a little bit more focused in this fight, and she looked good. You know, she looked good as far as weight. You know, I won't say like as far as, you know, her skill set. It still needs a little work, but she's done a lot better than she has in her past fights. You know, I think Aspen Ladd is a featherweight, you know, because like I said, she made the weight. You know, the weigh-in, she looked fine. She had no problems in the fight as far as looking like she was gassing out. You know, I think that's just her natural mentality of how she might slow down in there. And, you know, just some of the holes in her defense, right, that still needs improvement, right? But overall, I think that, you know, this is where she needs to be versus the UFC. Granted, she has fought some high-level fighters in the UFC, and there was a time when she was, you know, kind of riding high. But I think, you know, she just needs to be where there's a, you know, organization that can support her at this point. You know, you can't just jump around to some of these other organizations and, you know, try to fight at a weight that's not comfortable for you, right? But, yeah, Aspen Ladd, hopefully, you know, they add more featherweights here, because I think, you know, the more and more she fights at this weight, she can work on her technique, work on her skills, and get to be a better fighter. And then maybe eventually, if the UFC sees fit, they can establish a featherweight division and they might think of re-signing her, right? Because right now, with the way the UFC is looking with their featherweight situation and bantamweight situation, it's not really looking good. You know, in my opinion, it's not really looking good. So with that being said, well, as far as Aspen Ladd, it wasn't really anything else I wanted to say as far as just her performance. I think it was average. I think she still needs work, you know, as far as her stand up and her defense. But as far as her mental game and how she looked physically, I think this is where she needs to be. You know, this type of pace suits her. And again, featherweight is where she needs to be, right? So, yeah, speaking of featherweights and bantamweights, the UFC in this situation over here, their bantamweight and featherweight division seems a little shaky, in my opinion. You know, it does really seem really shaky, because first off, you got Norma Dumont, you know, doing interviews, you know, breaking it down to us that she's going to be trying her best to move down to 135 and competing at bantamweight now. You know, since, you know, she's been given a ranking, she's going to have to ride it through now, right? You know, she's going to have to ride it through because they're forcing her to move down to bantamweight now. So she said, okay, I'm going to fight at bantamweight, because it's looking like the featherweight division is going to be closed up here soon. They're just going to close it up. They're going to throw the sign on it. Boom, out of business, right? That's what it seems like, you know, she's been getting around that. So she's going to try to do her best now to, you know, kind of move her weight down so she can compete at 135. Okay. And recently you also have Macy Chase on, finally kind of voicing her thoughts on the whole situation as well, you know, breaking it down that, hey, you know, she's been forced to fight at 135. You know, she never really wanted to fight at this weight. You know, they just been forcing her to, because they won't, you know, commit to making a featherweight division. Right. And you also have fighters like Chelsea Chandler, you know, that feel better at 145. You know, that's where her power carries, and she just feels all around stronger at that weight, right? You know, because it's been a killer for these fighters to make 135. You know, even Chelsea Chandler, her last fight against Stoyanko, right? It was a rough one to try to get down to 135, but wound up being a catchweight, right? Correct me if I'm wrong, it was either a catchweight or a featherweight fight. But we also know Macy Chase has been having trouble making weight, you know, and when she does, her performances look flat. You know, her performances do suffer whenever she fights at 135. And in the past, she's kind of held that in, hasn't said anything. I was like the only one on my channel, you know, just, you know, voicing my opinion and saying, hey, you know, this don't look right. You know, I can read her body language, just tell the truth. Like Macy, she's saying one thing, but her body and her performances are saying another. You know, she used to be the one saying that, you know, the ladies ought to be able to jump back and forth between 135, 145. you know, 3 years before that, she was like, you know, I don't mind fighting 135. I can do it. But slowly, it started coming out, because even in one interview, she was like, you know, I can focus on my skills more when I can fight at featherweight. But when I have to fight at bantamweight, I got to spend time running 40 miles a week, right? So now it's pretty much out there that, you know, this weight is not suitable for them. You know, so, okay, it's suitable for some, but this weight should, you know, but featherweight should be the division that these fighters can jump to, right? So, yeah, I mean, my thoughts on the whole situation. Okay, first off, at 135, I know the UFC wants to keep this division thriving, right? Because it was once that division that was popping, you know, is that hot division, you know, it's the memory of Ronda Rousey, you know, the days of Ronda Rousey, Misha Tate, Holly Holm, and all these prime fighters that used to run this one, right? Of course, we still have Amanda Nunes, but since Amanda Nunes has been, you know, jumping from weight class to weight class and been a little bit more inactive, you know, they feel like they still need fighters to keep this thriving. Okay, yeah, you do. You can still get some fighters. Yeah, of course. But forcing some of these other featherweights, you know, to move down to 135, I don't think that's the best way to fill it out. I think we'd be better off just signing more fighters to bantamweight instead, right? Just sign more fighters to bantamweight to fill it out instead of trying to fill it out with these ringers almost, right? Because Norma Dumont, Jocelyn Nunes, and I believe that's it, you know, as far as at the bottom of the ranking. You know, these two fighters have been fighting at featherweight. And for Jocelyn Nunes, she's going to be fighting Dos Santos in January. And I'm pretty sure that's going to be at featherweight. So it doesn't really make sense to put them in that ranking. You know, you might as well take them out and put them in what you can in as far as the featherweight division goes, right? You know, so that would make more sense to us. So when you look at the bantamweight division, which I'm looking at it right now, I pulled this rankings up now. It just doesn't make any sense to have these other fighters kind of lingering here, these featherweights. Just take them out, you know, and find some other featherweights to move up into the rankings, you know, sign some to fill it out. Because regardless of the featherweights, the division is kind of a ghost town right now. You know, we got fighters that are injured. We got fighters on maternity leave. And we got older fighters that are just pretty much about done with their, you know, career anyway, right? We got Holly Holm, of course. You know, she's already 41. You know, she's partly injured and, you know, out of her prime, you know. And then you have fighters like Kelly Veria. Of course, she's still game, but, you know, she's been injured too. So she was inactive at a point. Irene Aldana, she was inactive, but she's still one of the game ones. All right. Juliana Pena, of course, she's probably the most active next to the champion. That's still game. You know, she's looking for her rubber match now. And the way things are looking, I'd rather just go ahead and give her a rematch here, right? But then you got fighters that are on maternity leave, like I said, like Julie Avila, Yana Kunitskaya, who's now making her comeback. And you just lost one fighter. She's out of the rankings. That's Sarah McMahon. You know, so Macy Chason could barely make the weight. So really, the division is in shambles, even if you do mix in some featherweight. So it seems like they're trying to put in featherweights just as like a panic situation, say, oh man, we got to fill this thing out. If we don't, you know, there's going to be a lot of holes in it. Well, if there's only 8 or 10, so be it. You know, I say just separate them and put, like Bellator does, you know, just separate them and put the featherweights in their own division. Even if you do have a top 5 or top 6, at least you have something to look at and say, okay, well, all we got is Norma, Jocelyn Nunes, and Macy Chason. Okay, maybe we need to, and Chelsea Chandler. All right, maybe we need to, you know, entice some other women to move up. Some of these bigger, thicker women like Yana Kunitskaya, right? Like a Yana Kunitskaya or even a Ketlin Vieira. Let's give them a few more dollars. You know, not a few more dollars, but maybe like a couple thousand more, right? 5,000 to 10,000 more to move up to 145. And I'm sure you got some women that would do it, right? And you would have some happy, fit women to do it. So not some sickly women in there. You're going to have some women that are going to be able to go in there and put on the better performance, right? Because right now, WMMA is suffering already. You know, suffering from some weak performances, you know, like in strawweight division, Carla versus Rose, you know. So right now, the more you just kind of put together a shaky bantamweight division, just kind of throwing anybody in there, you're going to have people just say, oh, well, there's no reason for me to watch these fights. They don't really make any sense, right? They're going to be like, why do I want to see Norma Dumont try to fight at 135 when I know she's probably going to miss weight anyway, right? Or, you know, oh, we got Holly Holm again. You know, Holly Holm's already 41. You know, we already seen her fight many a time, right? So I think really at this point, they just got to go on the scout. They just got to go on the scout, work with what they have, and, you know, build from there. And like I said, just separate the divisions. You know, that's probably the best thing, you know, to do, because if you don't, you're going to have a lot of women giving up part of their purse because they miss weight. Also passing out on the scale, you know. And also, if they do make weight, they're going to be looking flat from really killing themselves, like a Macy Chase song, right? Let Macy fight at 145. Let Norma Dumont fight it for 145. Let Chelsea Chandler White fight at 145. Hey, let throw Yana Kind of Sky in. Throw her in there. You know, I know she was talking about her being able to make 135 and, you know, not wanting to fight fighters like Macy Chase on because they can't make weight. Well, she's a big woman. Let her go up to 145. You know, she's been out for almost over a year. You know, she's coming off inactivity and she's coming off a loss, right? So, you know, ease her way back into the game without trying to do a rough weight cut. You know what I mean? So, yeah. Yeah, that's how I feel about this whole situation right now, the 135-pound division and the 145-pound division. It can be done. I think it's just maybe somebody like Dana White just wants to kind of cut back on expenses here, and he's trying to work with what they have, and so he's trying to sacrifice these women's health at the same time. But that's not going to be a good look, right? That's not going to be a good look in the long run, because then eventually with you trying to make Macy Chase on fight 135 again and again and again, eventually she's going to be racking up losses to a point she's at five fight losing streak, and then you got to cut her. Then you back to square one again. Now you got to find some more fighters, right? I mean, come on. You know, just got to use logic in this situation. I mean, look at this fighter like Norma Dumont. I had to post this picture here because look at the size of her thighs. Like, look at this girl. Like, she doesn't need to be no bantamweight. You know, she's better off at 145 to me. Like, she's been looking better at 145, you know, and she's been fighting 145 in her last three fights, you know. So somebody that carries this type of weight and at this age, I think this is where they need to be and where they feel happiest, you know, where they can get the where they can put on their best performance. Even Macy Chase on, like, I had a picture up of her the other day too. Like, you know, when you look at her thighs, like, you know, she's not like a heavy set woman. It's just she's, you know, big and she's tall, you know, and she's wide. You know, her shoulders are wide. She's 5'11". She's a big woman, right? So these type of fighters, that is killing them to move down. Chelsea Chandler, you know, these type of fighters that they thrive on their styles thrive on physical strength and, you know, power. You know, they suffer a lot when they cut down to 135, because you got to remember, these are women. They can't cut this type of weight off like men. You know, they just can't drop it like us. I mean, even to a certain point for men, you know, when we get to a certain age, it's hard for us to cut weight. You know what I mean? So we have to move up when you get to a certain level, right? So, yeah, man, let me know what y'all think in the comment section about this situation. I know what everybody says, oh, just close the featherweight division. But, hey, featherweight division really, I mean, really, the bantamweight division isn't any hotter than the featherweight division. I mean, yeah, you got more bodies in there, but like I can't remember who said it. I think it was Chelsea Chandler. Like she said, too, everybody is either pregnant or injured. You know, everybody's either pregnant or injured right now. And I'm going to also throw in also older, you know, out of their prime, because, you know, this is still like you still got fighters here from the Ronda Rousey era too, right? So yeah, man, overall I think that both divisions are really suffering and they just really need a makeover here. They just really need to separate them out and then work with what you have and then just say, okay, from here we're gonna have to go on a talent scout watch. We got to look out, how's Tanisha Tennant looking? Hey, is Teresa Blader looking more so like a bantamweight? This girl's big, she's 5'9". Maybe we ought to ask her if she can move up. You know, oh, Melissa Croton out here, you know, she out here winning. You know, she's got a belt in the Pallas Athena organization, right? Of course, she's going to keep on getting her work in, too. You know, not right now, I would say sign her, but maybe within a year or so, you know, keep on watching her as she stay active, right? And so you got a lot of these fighters out here that I think that the UFC needs to keep an eye on just in case, you know, some of these other ladies can't make weight or they just start losing and they can't keep. You know, they can't keep it together, right? So, yeah, these that's why I say these four fighters right here, you know, they would make a good addition to a so-called featherweight division. Then, of course, the champion would make five in Nunes. Then Jocian is six. Dos Santos is seven. Ketlin Berry would make eight. You know, so, yeah, we talk about this a lot, but I just bring it up whenever fighters bring it up now because it seems like they're the ones suffering. So I try to be a voice. I mean, I was already saying this anyway, even before Macy said, like Macy Jason herself was saying she could make 135. But I was one of the ones that said, nah, you can't. You don't look good at 135, Macy. Nah, your power and your strength suffers when you fight at 135. You know you need to be at 145. And she knew they were squeezing her down and making her do it. I knew they were. So, yeah, they need to, you know, speak up and say, hey, you know what? This fight has to be a featherweight. It has to be. It has to be because y'all killing me on this scale, man. Y'all killing me. They just got to voice it. I know I wouldn't do it. You know, if it was hurting my body, I ain't doing it. You know, forget the money. Body comes first for me. That's how I see it. But, yeah, y'all let me know how y'all feel about this whole situation with the weight and everything and the weight divisions, period. What do y'all think of 135? Like, really, at this point. So, let's jump to this next topic here. Let's go back to Friday real quick. Kayla Harrison. The Harrison hype. Right? The Harrison hype. Well, seems like the Harrison hype just died down a little bit this past weekend. Larissa Pacheco scored a unanimous decision over Kayla Harrison. Third time's a charm for Miss Pacheco. Shout out to Pacheco. Got to give her a lot of credit, man, because she has been working. She has been working, watching her train. Pacheco's been working on the striking. Power's been carrying in these fights nicely. Her boxing's been looking sharp. But what I've been mostly impressed with is her grappling, man. Like, you know, her physical strength and her grappling, like how she was able to maneuver Kayla Harrison throughout this fight and just control her, man. Like, you know, she really made – see, Kayla Harrison, that's the thing, like, people don't understand. Like, Kayla Harrison, she's good on the ground, but it's really her judo and her physical strength in that quick burst, you know, that speed she has, the athleticism that she has that really carries her fights. But when you're just talking about pure grappling, whenever you push her to that pace, like say how Juliana Pena pushed Amanda Nunes in that first round, you know, when you push her to that pace, that's a level she's never been on before. You know, that's a level she's never been on before. And Pacheco said, you know, that's what we're going to work on. And her grappling, it was very crafty in this fight, very slick. The fighting off her back, you know, the grappling combined with the striking off her back, you know, it was just a lot of good work that she was doing. Even on the feet, how she was, you know, holding Kayla, you know, pinning her, you know, laying on her back, pinning her down. A lot of good work done by Larissa Pacheco. Got to give her respect, though, man. But as for Kayla Harrison, you know, Kayla Harrison, of course, you know, didn't look too happy, which nobody would be happy taking a nail, right? But it's like I said in my post-fight video the other day for Kayla Harrison. This is what happens when fighters are feeling themselves too much. Okay, when they're feeling themselves too much and everything is being handed to them, you know, like a spoiled child, you know, a spoiled child that, you know, just gets, you know, like I've seen this in school before. You know, I always seen, like, even we were some athletes, you know, there was to be some athletes in school that were just the spoiled type because, you know, they were giving everything to them because they had a certain talent, right? Mm-hmm. That you know, they get the good grades, you know what I mean? Like the teachers would give them A's when they didn't even earn it because they had somewhat of a talent, right? And to keep them on the team, to keep them on the team, whether it be football or track, you know, they would always give them passing grades. Where people like me, I had to work, you know what I mean? I had to work, and, you know, I wasn't no friends with no coaches or anything like that because I wasn't, you know, one of them type of athletes out there exploiting myself, you know, but that's a different story, you know? But yeah. People like me, I had to work in school. You know, I had to work for it. Everything I had to do to get better in school and pass, you know, I had to work for it. Where these kids, yeah, they had somewhat of a gift, but they weren't really nurturing the gift, right? You know, the teachers were just passing them by because they could go ahead and do what they do. And that's kind of what Kayla Harrison's situation is. And that's how she admitted it, because, you know, she was so emotional because she said she never lost before, right? It's something she never experienced, whereas people – you know, other fighters in the game, they've already experienced losses before, right? So they know how to come back from it. Or, you know, in the beginning, they already knew what hard work was, right? I'm sure Kayla knows somewhat of hard work is because she's been around fighters that do it, like Amanda Nunes and Joanna at ATT. But actually having to go through it, that's a different story, you know, because she was out here feeling herself to the point, you know, she was overrating herself over fighters like Chris Cyborg, Valentina, Joanna, and Amanda Nunes, you know, saying she's the queen of MMA, where these fighters, you know, they've been getting their behinds kicked from day one. You know, these are fighters I've been watching for, you know, almost over a decade now. So how can you jump up ahead and just say, I'm the queen of MMA and these other fighters don't matter? Well, I see how. It's because everything was given to you. So when everything is given to you, you feel like you're the queen because everybody is bowing down to you. Nobody's really telling you the truth. That's kind of how it works, right? That's how Kayla Harris' situation has always been, you know? So now when she suffers that L, it really hits hard. You know, it hits harder than the knockout. Like I've compared it the other day, I think her loss crushed her more than, I think it crushed her more than Chris Cyborg getting knocked out by Amanda Nunes. You know, you see Chris Cyborg, what did she do? She came back. She said, okay, I can't fight as emotional. I'm going to work on my boxing. I'm going to become sharper. I'm going to become more patient. You know, Chris Cyborg actually took the time out to say, okay, I got to get better as a fighter. I got to tone down on the emotion in there. You know, I got to work on my skill and fight less sloppy, right? So for Chris Cyborg, I think she really learned from it. I'm sure it hurt, but it seems like she bounced back from it. I mean, we still have yet to see what Kayla Harrison will do in her next fight, but as far as how her approach came, it just seems to me like it hurt more. You know, it did hurt her more. Because again, you know, I think she just hasn't been going through the ringer like these other fighters have. And it's been seen. I mean, look at her record. You know, she's in double digits, but she doesn't have the best competition on her resume. I'd say her best competition, of course, is my girl Caitlin Young. You know, that's like the best competition she's fought. But at the same time, you know, she was facing a lot of strikers. You know, she's facing a lot of strikers that she could just take down and just, you know, lay and use her strength on and use her judo on. But the minute she had to fight somebody well-rounded, boom, you know what I mean? It took her to another place that she's not familiar with, and I'm not sure if she ever wants to go to again, right? But this is what she had said in her recent interview, too. I just wanted to read this because it seemed like, okay, she ain't trying to make too many excuses, but, I mean, we'll see. She said, I didn't get the result that I wanted tonight. Larissa was the better fighter. I don't have an excuse. I don't have a reason. I believe in my team. I believe in my preparation. I feel like we did everything right in order to prepare for this fight, and it just didn't go my way tonight. I made some tactical errors, a lot to work on. Failure is inevitable. Some days you're the nail and some days you're the hammer. I feel like I've been the hammer for a while, and today I experienced being the nail. All right. So, yeah, there's a piece of humble pie right there. So, yeah, with her experiencing being the nail this time around, you know, that's the best way to take it. Get your behind kicked, get humbled a little bit, and understand why you were getting it, why you got hammered this time, you know, why you lost this fight. You know, and I think that's the first thing that Kayla Harrison needs to do is, you know, work on her mental, you know, take a mental break and actually step back and say, okay, what is it about me, you know, that cost me to lose this fight? And like I said, I think it comes down to her being spoon-fed, you know, compared to what a lot of these other fighters have. You know, calling yourself the queen of MMA when you haven't done the work and you got the double digits with your organization just giving you the easiest competition, that happens. You know, that's going to happen. Because like all these other fighters, like I said, Amanda Nunes, you look at her resume from day one, it's a who's who of different fighters. That's why she took L's early in her career, then came back and got better from them. You know, some fighters have to learn that way. You know, some fighters, yeah, they can go undefeated. Yeah, you know, if they're fighting the best competition, I've seen it, you know, they can go undefeated. But even then, sometimes, you know, they get their behinds whooped in there and they learn from it still. But, you know, I think Kayla's just been riding so high. You know, her toughest competition was Marina Hatnikina leading up to this point that, you know, she always felt like I was invincible, you know. But now that aura's got taken away, now she's going to have to be like these other fighters, these other workers in there saying, okay, this is what it feels like. So this is what you got to do to get better from it, right? And that's something I want to discuss in another video, too. Is the difference between a gifted fighter and a fighter that's the complete package, right? You know, I'm giving you a little example of what I mean now, but I'll talk about it later. You know, a gifted fighter is like Kayla Harrison. You know, she's gifted. Of course, her judo is outstanding, but, you know, she's physically strong. She's got the size, the speed, the athleticism, you know, a lot of good things about her, you know, just naturally gifted, right? So she can go in there and do a lot of different things. And if you give her the right opponents, of course, she'll look good against that type of opponent, right? But there comes a point when you have to understand that, you know, your gift can only get you so far. You can only do so much off your gift, you know, but you can only do so much off your gift until, you know, you step out of the box, right? But the thing is, like, I feel like the PFL, they've been doing to keep the gift looking sharp is they just keep giving her a certain type of opponent, right? But eventually she's going to want to step out of the box and test herself, right? But in order to do that, you have to make sure that you're more than just a gift, that you're the complete package, that you have more tools to work with. Because when you step out of that box and you fight different styles, that gift, it ain't going to cut it. It might cut it against one or two fighters, but when you start fighting those fighters that have good takedown defense and great striking and a good jab that'll disrupt you, you know, or even a halfway decent like Larissa Pacheco, this is what happens. This is what happens, right? That's what happens with a gifted fighter, somebody that just depends on one thing over and over and over again. And then eventually, whenever they step up to the real opposition, this is, you know, they get exposed, right? But you see a fighter that's the complete package. Okay, a fighter that's a complete package doesn't necessarily mean that they're great at everything, right? But they're good at a lot of good. They're good at just about everything. They're not great at everything, but they're good at a lot of things. Let me put it that way, right? Of course, they have maybe one or two things where they do exceed at, but they know that in order to survive in this sport called MMA, they got to have more than just striking. They got to have more than just jiu-jitsu. They got to have a little bit of everything in this game, right? And they got to be decent at it. Because some people have tried to knock Valentina Shevchenko's grappling, you know, calling her a C-level grappler, which she in no way is, right? She may not be on the level of like, I say even like Amanda Nunes is grappling, but her grappling is almost there and it can get her through these fights. Like, look what it helped her in the Tyler Santos fight. You know, she was in some trouble in some hot water a few times, but if she didn't have that type of skill, you know, and that type of ability to hand fight and, you know, just survive the way she did at points, you know, she probably would have wound up getting submitted, but she had enough skill to go to, you know, to even to hang with Tyler Santos at times, you know, and to make adjustments. So when you look at these different fighters out here, like the Amanda Nunes, Valentina Shevchenko, and Chris Cyborg, those are your complete packages, right? And to, you know, to be a complete package, you have to go through the ringer. You have to go through all of these disciplines and you can't just get caught up in one thing, right? Now I understand like these, some of these fighters that are gifted, it's kind of hard to break down and say, okay, I need to learn this and I need to learn that and I need to learn this and I need to learn that, especially when there's never been a need to, right? Like I go to Roy Jones, you know, one of the most gifted athletes in boxing of all time, you know, always dependent on his speed, cat-like reflexes, his you know, freakish power and just crazy ways he could lead with the left hook. He was gifted, right? But there was never really a point for him in some of these fights to, you know, go back to just, you know, the basic jab, you know, slipping and doing the things that James Toney was doing in there, because it never asked for it. You know, he was always winning this way. But whenever he started to slow down, that came down to the point when he had to do those things, but, you know, it was a little too late. So yeah, sometimes I understand it can be hard for gifted fighters to say, okay, I need to learn these other things, because they feel like it's holding them back and they don't want to throw off what's working for them. Even their managers and their trainers probably don't. They're like, oh, you don't need to learn that. Let's just keep riding this train. So in order to do that, PFL is going to just keep feeding you the same type of fighter, right? That's how it kind of works sometimes. But, you know, in this game, like I said, in the sport called MMA, nah, man, you gotta come into it learning everything. You gotta be smart about it and you gotta dabble in everything that you can and get what you can and soak up game. You know, you just can't walk around with a big head and say, oh, I don't need that. I'm the best already. Walking around the gym thinking, oh, yeah, I'm the queen. You know, you can't do that. You just can't. So for somebody like Kayla Harrison, you know, yeah, she showed good heart. She showed a good chin in there. But, yeah, she's got to really work on her kickboxing and her, you know, her hands, period. You know, she landed some nice overhand lefts in there, you know, when she was stepping in the pocket on Larissa Pacheco. But she's got to commit more to a jab. You cannot be a southpaw and not exploit that ability in there. I mean, you can't stand southpaw and not use it. That was a waste in this fight. You know, whenever she was using that southpaw style, I was like, man, she could be landing some nice straight left hands, some check right hooks here if she knows how to set traps on Larissa Pacheco. But none of this is working. You know, she had a good leg kick in there. You know, she could have been using some good push kicks every now and then. You know, I know she's kind of bigger, so, you know, you can't really throw volume as a lightweight of her, you know, size. But, you know, yeah, those are just little things she could have been doing in here. Maybe just, you know, even showcase her power. So, yeah, that's why I want to see her work on, you know, work on her overall jiu-jitsu to her craftiness on the ground, her defense. You know, the nose is something you got to protect. I'm talking about the noses in these fighters, man. Like, whenever you're dealing with a good striker, they'll focus on that nose. You talk about Montana, Joe Jua, Kayla Harrison, these fighters with them pronounced noses, hey, they're going to get cracked in there. So defense is something she got to work on. So, yeah, man. Yeah, Kayla Harrison, it's only over if she wants it to be over. For me, that's how I see it. It's only over if she wants it to be over at this point. I think that, you know, her stepping out of PFL would have been a mistake. And she knew that, because see how she faced like a well-rounded fighter. She suffered, you know, I mean, you know, she suffered her first loss, you know, a fighter that could, you know, handle her on the feet, on the ground. And, you know, I think even her manager, that's what they were worried about. They were worried about her stepping out of the box and, you know, facing this type of competition, whether it be Bellator or some of these fighters from Invicta FC, or, you know, eventually going to the U.S. Bellator, Invicta FC, or UFC. And that's what Dana White seen. You know, Dana White, I got to agree with him on this. That's why he was like, you know, she's not ready for this level. She's not ready. He knew it too, because he saw the level of competition she was fighting at PFL. He was like, oh man, Kayla would get eaten up over here in the UFC. She would get eaten up by some of these featherweights. Hell, like if Juliana Pena put on the right weight at 145, she might do some damage to Kayla Harris. No lie. Because if she could grapple, like, you know, if Larissa Pacheco could out-grapple and make her exert energy like that, I'm sure Juliana Pena could. And Juliana Pena would probably be cracking that nose with that straight jab, too. I mean, her footwork ain't the best, but Juliana Pena, when she get on the ground, you know, she'll push you. You know, she'll push you. So, yeah, there's a lot to work on. There's a lot to work on for her. She's going to have to go to Invicta FC, get some work in from some of these fighters over here, and just go from there. Just go from there. But, you know, you got to eat that humble pie every now and then. You know what I mean? But that's how it is. That's how it is when you talk this big. You know, she had a lot of fans, too, that were thinking she was this next big thing. But, hey, I was like, hey, man, like, yeah, maybe at 155 she would have a chance against Chris, because everybody has a chance. But I would still have to pick Chris. Like I said, I would bet, put a lot on that. Chris or Nunes would still, you know, they would still clean her clock, man, if she was to fight either one of these girls, man. That's why this was a wake-up call for her. That's why this was good. This happened. Pacheco was a wake-up call for her to say, hey, shh, be quiet. Got to get some work in. But, yeah, man, I know, man, look, some of these Kayla fans out there, I ain't hear from them. You know, I ain't hear from them. Hey, I've been here. I stay here, though. I do want to say that, because I stay here. Look, people try to rag on me for giving Teresa Blader credit, you know, for the resume she put together, and, you know, for me saying she deserves to be in the UFC. I stand by that. Teresa Blader is still a high-level fighter. It was just a bad style matchup. I still believe that, you know, she can get the work in and put it together, right? You know, people knock me talking about her. I wasn't trying to say she was champion. I just trying to tell y'all, look, she's going to be a potential prospect. That's all. But, you know, these people that were overhyping Kayla, they were overhyping her because she was PFL champion. Just because she had a PFL belt don't mean she's the GOAT, and don't mean she can beat Amanda or Chris, because there's levels to this game. So if y'all really know this game, y'all would know there ain't no way Kayla Harrison was going to beat Chris or Amanda like that. There was no way, you know? So, hey, I take my L's, you know, hey, when Manon didn't fully want the Valentina fight, I addressed that. Teresa Blader, hey, I addressed that as well. Like I said, I addressed that. Still stand by as a fighter. But hey, these other Kayla Harris fans, you know, they out there, I'll hear from them now. You know, they were the ones telling me, oh, she's the greatest and she's going to do this, she's going to do that. No. Mm-mm. She's the same thing as these fighters because she got a belt from another organization. So she's kind of on the same level as these other regional fighters, like whether it's UAE or Invicta FC. She just got to get her work in, y'all. But that's what it is. But let me know how y'all feel about the situation with Kayla. That's the most I ever talked about Kayla actually on this channel, because that's why I said I never really felt like she was that, you know, big thing like a Joanna or even like a Wei Lee, of course. But yeah, let's move on, y'all. Talked enough about that. Let's jump on this number two flyweight right here. Let's talk about Tyler Santos here real quick. All right, y'all. As y'all know, Tyler Santos has been making a big wave over the past few weeks, almost about a month now, you know, talking that good stuff. Ain't even got a fight lined up, but Tyler Santos has been making it known that, look, I'm right here. Valentina, I want a rematch. I want this rematch. I want this rematch. Let's do it in December. Let's do it in December. You know, that's what she's been saying. You know, Tyler Santos has been making it known that, look, she wants this rematch. She's been working. She's been posting up videos of her training, you know, working on her game. She even went to the extent of saying Valentina was running from her. She said Valentina was running from her. She said Mick Maynard and, you know, her manager, they don't want to make the fight. You know, she had said that Mick Maynard and her manager said that Valentina were running and that she didn't want to fight. You know, she said that both of them didn't want to fight. But I find that crazy that Mick Maynard would say that. But anyways, hey, she's out here saying everything. You know, she's saying Valentina running. She don't want to fight. She's ducking her. And that's what it is. All the while, you know, she's out here putting her face out here and just talking good game. And you know what I got to say to that? Props to Tyler Santos. Much respect. Much props to Tyler Santos. And you know why? Not because he's telling the truth here. Not because Valentina's really running scared. But Tyler Santos wants the smoke. She wants the fire. Forget the smoke. She wants the fire. She wants the fire. She wants the belt. And that's what you're supposed to do to the champion. You're supposed to hound them until they give you the rematch. You're supposed to hound them, period, if you want to fight them, right? You got to get into their head. You got to get into their mode. You got to get into their gym. You got to get into their DMs, whatever, and make it known that this is what you want. And Tyler Santos is doing that. She's doing that right now. And like I said, that's what you're supposed to do. Whether there's full on truth to it, you got to make it known that, look, I want this fight more than anybody. And I mean, she wants it more than anybody in the division. Like, there's still fighters out there that haven't fought her, but Tyler wants to do it again. Tyler truly wants to do it again because she's working and she's getting better and she's talking the right amount of trash, right? So I like this strategy with Tyler Santos. You know, this is what you're supposed to do. Whether you guys believe it or not, you know, she's doing it to rattle the cage of the champion, to make the champion say, you know what? What is this girl talking about? She wants to make Valentina say, is this girl crazy? What's this girl smoking? She really believes I'm scared of her. Hey, you know, let's sign this fight. Let me give her the rematch. I'm a whooper for real. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to take her 5 rounds. I'm a whooper. That's what she's trying to get Valentina to do. She's trying to get Valentina out of her mindset. Maybe not even out of her mindset, but she just want to get her in the cage again. Right. But with that talk, maybe she can take Val out of her mind. That's, you know, maybe she can take her out of her focus. And that's why you got to do that stuff sometimes. You know, you got to make it known that this is what you want. And you got to make the champion uncomfortable. So do it. You got to do this type of stuff. But yeah, man, like, that's why I didn't even take the approach, because a lot of people, when they heard Tyler saying this type of stuff, the first thing they're going to say, the simps of Valentina and the casual fans, they're going to say, oh man, this girl's stupid. She talking about Valentina scared. Valentina ain't scared. We know Valentina ain't scared. Why she ain't running? Why this girl be quiet? Well, first off, look, this girl wants to fight. And to get a fight, you got to do whatever you want. You got to do whatever it takes by any means necessary to get that fight. And that's what Tyler Santos is doing right now. She's just saying the right things. She's trolling to make it known to the UFC that this is the fight to make, and to make her fans, the Brazilian fans, and the fans here say, look, Valentina, this is the fight you need to take. Because, you know, whether you like her or not, well, the fans that don't like the fighter, Tyler Santos, they're going to say, hey, man, UFC, make this fight. Shut this girl up. Shut Tyler Santos up. She talking too much junk. This is the only fight we want to see. We don't even want to see Alexa Grasso right now because, you know, she don't really make it known that she wanted, like, Tyler Santos. Tyler wanted to do it again. Shut her up this time. Give Val that fight. You know what I mean? That's what all of this talk is doing. This is the type of strategy that Tyler Santos is taking, and you got to love it. You got to love it because right now nobody else is talking. So don't get mad at Tyler for, you know, making it known she wants to fight Valentina again. You got to do this. You got to do this. Because if the fighters don't say it, y'all get mad. But now that Tyler's talking reckless, y'all still getting mad. But no, this is what I like. This is the fight game. This is fighting words, right? So, yeah. My thoughts, though, look, Val is not scared. I have to address that part because people still don't understand. Valentina is not scared here. She just said that, look, I want to make sure the girl's healed up. I don't want to fight her next because, you know, I want to make sure she's, you know, properly healed up, you know, because she said, like, you know, some fans out there, they get bloodthirsty. They just want to see somebody get beat up. You know, Val wasn't like that. You know, she did say, look, I want to see her get healed up, take another fight, and then make it interesting. You know, then we can do it again, right? But at this pace, it might happen again because, like I said, Val might get a little bit pissed off at how Tyler's been talking, and she'll just say, you know what? This girl still might be tender. Let's go ahead and do it. I'm a tenderizer for real. You know, that eye might not be healed up. Let me go ahead and take full advantage of that and really put the striking clinic on her. Hey, you know, Val working now. Y'all seen it. Break is over. Valentina out here working. She putting in work. And she, you know they working on everything that is going to try to neutralize Tyler Santos in this fight. Heck, man, Valentina probably already had it the first time around. But she, like I said, she kind of let the ego get to her. And she just kept wanting to wrestle with Tyler Santos. So you never know how this fight's going to go this time around. Tyler could be working on her game. But Valentina, she's been doing this a long time, y'all. Been doing this a long time, but when it comes down to it, it's going to be good. And if Tyler can get this fight next, if it happens next, I mean, like first quarter of 2023, I got to give her props. I got to give Tyler Santos props because she talked herself into a fight and not only a fight, but a second fight with the champion, right? But, yeah, let me know, guys, what y'all think in the comment section about this. I love it, man. I love it. But, yeah, speaking of the first quarter of 2023, that brings me to my next topic here. First quarter of 2023, we got two fighters in the flyweight division trying to make their return. First quarter of 2023, we got Casey O'Neill. See that? I was about to say Casey Santos. No, we got Casey O'Neill and none other than the former strawweight contender, Tatiana Suarez. I almost said Tyler Santos again. See, I still got Tyler on the brain, man. We got to switch gears. Let's switch gears. All right. Casey O'Neill and Tatiana Suarez both want to come back first quarter of 2023. Not against each other. So don't think this is a potential matchup, right? But they both want to make their comeback in 2023 first quarter, both coming off of injuries. As y'all know, Casey O'Neill, she had suffered a torn ACL? Torn ACL after her fight with Roxy back in February. And she's been out now for about 9 months. So by the time she comes back, it'll be pretty much a year off. Tatiana Suarez, her situation is it's been much harder road. She's been out the game now. It's going to be going on 4 years, you know. So when it comes down to it, I think that hers, both are exciting as far as making their return, but hers is a little bit more shaky and a little bit more worrisome for most fans, right? Because she's been out for so long and the type of injuries she suffered, you know, torn ACLs, Macy Barber, she's bounced back from one. You know, once you get to surgery, you go through therapy and you work it out right, take the right amount of time off. Because, you know, Casey O'Neill already stated that it's going to take her a long time. She's going to take a long time, but much time needed. You know, take that right time and boom, you can get healed back up, right? So, yeah, with Casey O'Neill, I think, you know, she'll definitely be in good shape. But when it comes to Tatiana, we still got to see, we still got to see what's up with her. But let's look at Casey O'Neill first in this situation. Casey O'Neill, even though she's been out for almost a year, her ranking, it hasn't suffered, with her inactivity. She's still in the top 15 right now. So with her, I think, she's going to try to bounce back and continue on her mission, because she's still young, she's still strong, she's still gutsy, she's a fighter, she's scrappy. So, I can definitely see her being the type of fighter that will want to continue right where she left off, because of the youth on her side. She's not really rusty, she's still getting in that work slowly but surely. And by the time she trains for whatever fight she gets signed to, I think she'll be in good shape, right? So somebody of her age, they could bounce right back and pick up and fight up, with her fighting down right now. I think that would just kind of hold her back, because where she's at, she's already fought four and oh in the UFC, right? The last fight was Roxy, which is a good veteran to fight. So now she can kind of pick up and fight another veteran and just work on her skill sets and just continue to make the statement and get the experience that she needs. So for me, I think Casey O'Neill, she's in a good place. So I would like to see her fight up and fight somebody like Jennifer Maia. Granted, Jennifer Maia called out Alexa Grasso, but I don't know if she'll get that fight, because you never know. Tyler Santos versus Grasso could be made. Shevchenko versus Grasso could be made. You never know, right? So I just think that for Casey O'Neill, since she made the call out of Jennifer Maia, that should be the fight she gets. Her situation is the same as Andrea Lee and Macy Barber. The other match I want, Vivian versus Aaron, it's a good test for Casey O'Neill. Like I said, I don't see Casey O'Neill winning, but it's a level that she needs on her resume. If you're going to fight up, win or lose, you need these type of fights to show what kind of work you need. Because, Casey O'Neill, she's tough, good on the ground, throws a lot of volume. She's a good offensive striker, but she still needs a lot of work too on her defense. And I think somebody like Jennifer Maia can give her that wake up call that's necessary, be much more polished and even work on her wrestling and get a little bit cleaner with it, right? So yeah, that's a good fight for her. Now if she wins, boom, hey, she's in the top 10, she's in the top 10 and, she can get closer to that title shot. She can start calling out more names and getting more work in, right? So yeah, Casey O'Neill, I think, is in a good position right now with where she's at in the top 15. She's getting healed up, and I'm sure, coming back, top of the quarter of 2023, she's going to be excited and ready to go. She's going to be motivated. That's why I don't really want to see her fight down, because I know when she comes back, she's going to come back in there hard. She's one of them scrappy, reckless type of fighters that wants to jump right into the fire. And some fighters like that, that's how they learn, whether they win or lose. So I don't think we need to hold her back and say fight down. Just keep going. Just keep going up with it. We need more of these young, reckless type of little knuckleheads that talk to get up in there and start taking over the top 10 and top five, right? As for Tatiana Suarez, like I said, her situation is a little bit more scarier because of the neck injury and the back injury and even the hand injury that she suffered throughout these years. And with her being out for 4 years, man, it's like, I don't know. I just don't know, what kind of condition she's in. So for somebody like her, I would like to see her start off in the unranked circuit. Look, I love Tatiana. Y'all know that. Said that already. Look, Tatiana, she's going to take it all. Look, she's the uncrowned strawweight champion. I said that. She's the uncrowned strawweight champion. So believe me, I want her to make it. But I really just need to see what she looks like physically, especially when you're going to be at a higher weight, like 125 and grappler heavy division. The girls are going to be thicker. The girls are going to be wrestler heavy. Won't be one to clinch up. And your style, Tatiana's style herself is very taxing on her. It's very physical on her body. It's a physical style. It wears on her body. She goes in there and she's roughing people up. The back is critical to her style. The neck is. Neck and back are critical to everybody's style. But you know what I mean? She goes in there and goes hard. She's tossing girls around. So if she's trying to bring that style back, you got to make sure that you're ready against somebody that can, break you in and get your feet wet again. So I would say somebody like Agato, somebody like a Melissa Gatto is good. Karine Silva, you know, one of them newcomers that are just coming into the strawweight division. She already has a win over JJ Aldrich, so I wouldn't want to see that fight again. Jazzy Vicious, or is that a little too low for y'all? Now, I did say this in a live stream the other day. Like, if we want to get her back in there and just get her a number, the best fight would be Cynthia Calvillo, who's number 14, right? Number 13 or 14, correct me if I'm wrong. I'm not looking at the rankings anymore. But, I think that would be the perfect fight for Cynthia Calvillo. I used to want to see this fight at 115, but now with Calvillo on the downside, four or five fight losing streak, right? And you got this fighter here, four-year layoff. Wow. That's crazy, right? Cynthia Calvillo, four-fight losing streak, and Suarez, four-year layoff. Dang. That's a good matchup. That would be a good matchup, I think. That's probably, like, the only top 15 I think would be safest for her right now. I know she called out Andrea Lee last year. That's a winnable fight, but it's still tough because Andrea Lee has that kickboxing. You know, she's been active, much more active. And for Tatiana to be physically ready, I think she just needs to prove it by taking one of these other fights, you know? So, yeah, Cynthia Calvillo, good name. Good name and a good number. You know, good position to get her into the top 15. But when you get in there, that'll get her feet wet. But got to be prepared for these other fighters because, you know, like I said, Erin Blanchfield, her style, it could be dangerous too. You know, she's very technical and she's still young. She's active and she's been working. So that's a dangerous style for Tatiana too. But, you know, let's get her in there, get somebody where she can just get her feet wet, get loosened up, shake the rust off. And if she looks good in there, like against the Cynthia Calvillo, you know, okay, we'll take it to the next level. Then she looked good in the next fight, take it to the next level. She looking good. Well, hey, we're going to be up in the top five or top 10 or top five. And then we'll see what it do from there. Right. But yeah, she's been working on her striking and everything. And like she says, 125 would be a good weight for her because she's stronger and she feels good. You know, now she feels great. Because like I said, whenever she's at 115, she still feels good. You know, she cuts that weight, she feels good. But when she's at 125 with less of a weight cut, oh, she's physically strong because, yeah, she's a good sized woman too. So yeah, man. I think Tatiana Suarez, with her longer layoff, hers is going to be a little bit slower than a Casey O'Neill. Casey O'Neill been off a year, going on a year by the time she comes back, but still young and still being active. And her momentum is still high, you know, because her injury wasn't as serious. So she can get right back in there. She's going to want to pick it back up, knowing that she almost got a top 10 spot off being inactive, but now she's like 11 or 12, right? So with her being right in the mix, she's going to get right back into it. So, yeah, she needs to fight up. I think Tatiana, the highest she could do is Cynthia Calvillo, but one of them other names I think would be good. Gatto, Silva, and, yeah, that's good for her. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to the comebacks. Yeah, the one most likely I know is going to be Casey O'Neill, though, for sure, because, you know, with Tatiana, it's just been so much she's been going through right now, just so much, man. So, yeah, we'll see, though. I'm praying for it, though, man. I definitely want to see her come back. Or if not, I hope the right choice is made, you know, to avoid being hurt, you know. So, yeah, let me know what y'all think. Let me know what y'all think. What's the best matchup for these fighters and who will come back first Q of 2023? All right. All right, next topic here. All right. Shout out to Chin, comment section. After I posted up my who's next for Marina Rodriguez, as y'all know, I said Marina needs to take on Andrade, Nama Yunes, or Esparza as her next fight to get back into the thicker things and trying to get that title shot. Those are the three she needs to fight. And like I said, Marina posted a few tweets. She said, I want Carla. Then she said, hey, I got two more names. And then she said, I got another name, one that's not in the rankings, right? She's like, I got one that is not in the rankings. Let me pull that up real quick. Give me some time here, y'all. Hold on. Because I was talking about this in my video. I said, I don't know which fighter she's talking about. I think somebody had said, is it Ebos? I was like, nah, she already knocked Ebos out. She ain't trying to fight Ebos anymore. Hold on. Let me see if I can find it. right now. Because before you know who it is. I already got the picture of y'all know who it is. But when you put two and two together, you know who she's talking about. Okay, so November 13th, she said, okay, I told you I'm next. If Rose isn't ready let's do it. Carl Esparza, take your time. And next year, we will be ready to make this match. What do you think? If you want it, I'll let you use my walking song again. No problem. Dang. Yeah, she said if that was back in November. Yeah, that was 2 weeks ago when she said that. Rose, if Rose don't want it and she's not ready, Carla, let's do it. So, yeah, those are the two that she did want. So it's kind of down to those two because, yeah, she ain't going to fight Andrade. But let me see here. Let me see what we got. Let's see what we got. Because Twitter's weird sometimes. I don't really use it too much. So hold on. Yeah, okay. She said, one name I got is out of the UFC rankings, okay? And that's y'all will see that tweet. But, yeah, that's the one that I was reading the other day, and I wasn't too sure, but Chan had said that she had asked Marina Rodriguez, who is that fighter? And she said, Joanna. And I said, okay, yeah, that makes sense. That's it. It's got to be that fighter. So Marina wants these other names, of course. She wants these ranked fighters to get her back to a title shot. But she said, if I can't get it, I want to go back to a name that I called out a year or two ago. And that's Joanna. Now, as y'all know, Joanna wanted a last dance. And she was tempted to come back and get a last dance, but, you know, she just kind of played with it a little bit. Who knows? She still might want it. Not even sure if she really fought out her contract. You know what I mean? Like Misha Tate, you remember when Misha Tate left for a while? She still had like 4 or 5 fights on her contract, so she can't fight anywhere else. Joanna's might be the same situation, like either retire or fulfill your contract, right? She might have like a couple on there. So, yeah, Joanna might be in that situation where, you know, she could want to come back. But for me right now, I don't know if that's really a fight. I think Marina should be chasing to get her back to a title shot. I think it has to be those two fighters that she called out, a rematch of Carla or Rose, because, you know, they're the ones that are active. They're the ones that are in the right mind state right now. Granted, maybe a year ago or 6 months ago, I would have wanted to see this fight, like back in June. Instead of Wei Li versus Joanna, I wanted to see Marina versus Joanna because that's the level of competition, and style wise it would have made a good fight all around, right? So yeah, I think this fight here for Marina, it would be a good, exciting fight for her, you know, because of the styles and how it plays out. It won't be a grappling fight. It's going to be striking, and it would definitely be a 5-round main event for UFC Fight Night. So I think she wants to definitely play off of that, and I ain't mad at her. But yeah, those are the good parts. But yeah, like I said, I don't think it's going to really make her prepare for a title shot, though. I think she needs to fight one of these other former champions. You know, these other two former two-time champions, they'll get her ready for, you know, that title shot against, you know, the Wei Li, Lemos win, or Wei Li, you know, or if, you know, Lemos wins, whoever, you know. I don't know that situation yet. Just throwing things out there. But, yeah, I think Marina needs to keep that mindset on those fighters. But if she could entice Joanna to come out, I mean, hey, who'd want to see it? I mean, I definitely would watch it. I definitely would watch that fight. I mean, I know Joanna ain't the same because, you know, Joanna been chilling right now. I mean, everything I see of Joanna, she's in a bathing suit. She's out there training now. Don't get me wrong. She still, like, works out. But I don't know if she's, like, sparring or really, like, training, like, how dirty she's getting in there. Like, she still posts up a lot of Instagram stuff. It might just be for Instagram now. Joanna might just be posting up for Instagram. She probably ain't really posting up a lot of like hardcore sparring, like that type of intense stuff. Like even when the camera's off, she might just turn it on and say, hey, let's get me hitting the bag. Let's get me working up a little sweat. And that's about it. You know, just to promote some of her businesses. Like she's always talking about, right? That could all, that could be everything she's doing with that. But I think she does stay in shape, but I don't think her mind's really in that fight mode. So entertaining fight, possibly, because, you know, the styles match up, but I don't think this is what Marina needs. I want to see her in there with somebody like Rose. You know, we can talk about Rose's mentality, but somebody like Rose would still get her the number that she needs, which is the number two, or Carla the number one in that fight she wants. So calling out an unranked fighter right now, it would just be a good entertaining an entertaining striking match, but I don't think it's going to solidify her closer to a title shot. Because if she fights that Joanna fight, I'm going to say she needs another fight. You know, so Marina, if she does get the Joanna fight, or she pulls out of retirement, she's going to have to fight one of these other fights. But I really doubt Joanna will come out for that fight. I really do. You know, it'll have to really be something I think the fans beg for, or, you know, even like Mick Maynard and Dana White kind of give her a big incentive to come out for it. Like, hey, you get a main event plus this amount of money for it. And she'll be like, oh, yeah, I'll do that because, hey, this ain't Wei Li anymore. It's, you know, much, much more of a level I think I can handle. Right. So she would do that. But yeah, me personally, like I said, I want one of the other fights in my Who's Next. I won't do that one. I wouldn't do that fight. But what do y'all think of it? Year ago, it would have been a striker's paradise, though. But me being a fight fan, if it got made, you know, I'd still be looking. I'd be side-eyed. I'd be like, oh, yeah, we got Marina and Joanna fight. I talked about it before. You know, I did a video on it. I might do another one. I did a striker's paradise video on Marina and Joanna. But I might do one on Marina and Namajunas, Rose Namajunas, if their fight ever gets made. You know, I might do one, have their striking matches up. All right. So yeah, last but not least, it is another fight weekend among us. And we've got three WMMA fights on the schedule. All three are on the preliminaries. So that won't throw off my fight companion. My fight companion coming this Saturday, 7 p.m. Eastern time. Make sure you tune in. Combo Breaker 99, right? So, yeah, all three fights on the prelims, which is good. Good and bad, because, you know, I like to see some of these women get on the main card and make a statement just so more people can see them. But most of the levels of these fighters, yeah, they are prelim level. They are prelim level, so I can't argue that. Let me go ahead and get them up here. Yeah, these are good fights, though. These are good. You know, we got two strawweight fights in this flyweight fight. All three of these are good matchups. You know, I'm definitely looking forward to these. No predictions yet in this episode. Just trying to give y'all a friendly reminder. Don't miss these fights. The first fight on the list, opening the card, so you know I'm going to be on 7 p.m., is Yasmin Hariri and Estela Nunes, which I kind of already talked about. And if you know me, you already know my prediction, so I don't need to predict, right? I like this fight. Yasmin Hariri, you know, she put that work in through combate, takedown defense, killer instinct, good stand-up, all of that. Estela Nunes, decent stand-up, not a three-round fighter. Can barely be a two-round fighter, kind of gasses sometimes. She'll kind of, you know, lose her momentum. Both have 9 fights. Yasmin Hariri's 9-0. Estela Nunes, 6-3. Actually won no contest, so she got 10 fights. Really needs a victory herself. You know, really needs a victory herself in this game. You know, she wants to stay in the UFC. But I think this is going to be a good stand-up fight for the most part. You know, so we're going to see, I think, Hariri go in there and utilize her offense, that speed, that brawling style, good kickboxing. Estela Nunes going to try to pick her apart with that jab for the most part, but she's going to feel that physical strength. It's going to be an interesting fight, y'all. So I think it's going to be a good stand-up fight here. Yasmin Hariri versus Estela Nunes. Definitely, I feel like Yasmin Hariri is going to be in that. I think she's going to be in that top 10 by the end of next year. I do. I think she's going to be part of this next crop of strawweights that's on the come up. You know, I think she has it for real. Let's see. I just want to look at Estela Nunes' record here. How many fights has she won in the UFC? Because this might be the chopping block for her. She's on a 2-fight losing streak right now. She hasn't won a fight in the UFC yet. Yeah, she's 0-2. Yeah, so she needs this win. Because she might be in that Ramona Pascal situation where she goes 0-3 and they might cut her. So, yeah, she's on that chopping block. Definitely. All right. And y'all know Yasmin Lucindo gave Yasmin Heredia a good fight. That was a good one. And that was her first fight in the UFC. So, okay, this will be her second. Okay, next fight. We got Amanda Ibas and Tracy Cortez. Can't believe Amanda Ibas is ranked number 15 off of Caitlin Chikagan loss. She got the 15th spot in the flyweight division. That's crazy. I like Ibas. I like her. This would be a good fight, man. You know, the thing I like about Tracy Cortez, I don't like her inactivity, but I do like her ability to find ways to win. You know, she's a neutralizer. She's a neutralizer. You know, she's strong, pretty scrappy. Doesn't have the best hands, but she will throw them. And she has good wrestling, good positioning on the ground. You know, whenever you're trying to get that submission, she knows how to blanket you and put that body on you and knows how to get that side control. Good transitions from her half guard to side. Good clinch control on the cage as well. She's definitely a physical fighter in there. So Amanda Ibas, I could see her wanting to use her stand-up from a mid-range. You know, Amanda Ibas got a good jab. Amanda Ibas does have a good jab. Head movement ain't too good, but I think she definitely has that ability to try to kickbox in here, pile up points on Tracy Cortez, being slower. Amanda Ibas, she sticks that jab out, invites the takedowns, goes to her back. You know, her jiu-jitsu is on point now. That's where Tracy Cortez got to watch out. But after seeing how Tracy handled Melissa Gatto and her jiu-jitsu, this is going to be a good fight. I like this matchup, though. Yeah, Ibas is 15 and Tracy is 13. So, yeah, that is a ranked fight. I just wanted to make sure if Ibas was still in there. Yeah, she's still hanging in there. No prediction yet, guys, but definitely check it out. Ibas is coming off that loss to Chikagan. Seems like she's going to be a tweener now. Tracy Cortez coming off a win over Melissa Gatto, who I picked to win. Before that, she had beat, let's see, did she beat Sarah Alpar, was it? Hold on, y'all. I don't want to guess. Let's take a look here. What do we got? Tracy Cortez. Where do y'all want to see Amanda Ibas fight? 125 or 115 anyway? Okay, so Gatto was her last win. Before that, she had beat Justine Keach in a close fight. Then she beat Stephanie Edgar and Vanessa Mello. That was her UFC debut. Okay, so she's 4-0 in the UFC right now. 4-0, okay. And she's ranked now. So, yeah, Tracy Cortez, to me, never really shown anything, like, overly special, like one of those gifted athletes. But she's, like I said earlier, what you want, a hard worker and somebody that's working towards being a complete package. Sometimes those fighters that work like Tracy Cortez, they have a better understanding of the game and they have longevity. Sometimes with gifted fighters, the crash comes down hard. Yeah, Melissa Gatto, yeah, that was a good win. And okay, Ibas lost to Kagan. Before that, she beat Verna Jandiroba. Then before that, knocked out by Marina Rodriguez. Okay, so she's 1-2 in her last fight, her last three fights. Okay. So, yeah, Ibas definitely needs a good win, though. She needs a good win to make her momentum pick back up. Like, she's a sweetheart and everything, but as far as, you know, her momentum is being a killer again, we need to see that. I mean, the Caitlin Chikagan fight, she put it on Chikagan. She did good in that fight. I got to give her credit, you know, for moving up and taking on that fight and then calling out Valentina. She won a Valentina after. Oh, yeah. I hope she can get her momentum. So, in a way, I would like to see her win because I know if she wins, she's going to call out Casey O'Neill or something. She's going to call out Casey O'Neill. She's going to call out Macy Barber and say, I want to fight either one of these fighters. You know, she's going to be calling names out. But, yeah, that's a good fight, y'all. Definitely check that one out. That'll be the next fight. On the prelims. Last but not least, man, Angela Hill versus Emily Ducote. Woo, I like this fight. I like this one because Angela Hill's been coming up. Angela Hill's been looking different, you know, and she's been able to execute some good things in there. Her combination's been looking better. Nice uppercuts now. Very durable. Takedown defense is getting better. You know, she's been looking sharp, very sharp and strong in there now. And then you got Emily Ducote, who's, you know, also a very precise and accurate striker, you know, good kickboxing, you know, her leg kicks are good, you know, her jabs straight down the middle. I would say the one thing she needs to work on is her head movement. She can get hit now. She's hittable, but she'll hit you, you know? So this is going to be, I think this is going to be a stand-up fight. I think it's going to be a striker versus striker. And the thing about Emily Ducote, she's never seen this look. But then again, whenever anybody faces Angelina, who has, right? Who's faced this look before? Nobody. So with that being said, Emily Ducote looks great with her stand-up. But when you fight somebody like Angela Hill, Angela Hill can show some holes in your game. You know, I thought Lupi had some pretty good boxing, but Angela Hill took her to school in some areas. So Angela Hill might be putting some angles on Emily Ducote in this fight. If she's not in the pocket or mid-range with Emily Ducote, she's going to have a hard time finding Angela Hill. You know, so Emily Ducote is going to have to really make sure she's using her timing well, that she breaks down those legs of Angela Hill, and that she corners her and she forces her to fight at that mid-range, you know, so then she can time those blitzes, you know, not even like really a blitz, but like time those combinations coming from Angela Hill, those quick, fast hands, land a good right hand up the middle and get that respect, right? But yeah, it's going to be a good fight, y'all. This is what Emily Ducote needs to really break into the top 15 for real, you know, to get closer to the top 15, actually, you know, and make that noise, because I definitely want to see fighters like her, Emily Ducote, and Yasmin Harigi get into this top 15 and start shaking things up, bringing some new blood at strawweight. So yeah, those are the fights we have. Again, they are on the prelims starting at 7 p.m. I'll be on doing my fight companion. So you make sure y'all tune in to the channel. We'll watch them together. Yasmin Harigi versus Estella Nunes, Amanda Ibas versus Tracy Cortez, and Angela Hill versus Emily Ducote. So yeah, that's all I got on this episode, guys. It's been a long one. Feels like a long episode. Definitely in a 2-hour one. But yeah, that's all I wanted to talk about today. And well, that's all. That's a lot. We talked about a lot. You know, I just wanted to kind of go through some different things that's been going on and cover them over here like we usually do. Final thoughts, going back up, you know, like I said, Aspen Ladd, I think she's in a better place now. I'm glad that, you know, she's feeling comfortable and looking more confident, you know, and fighting at a weight that's comfortable for her. Going back to 135, 145, they just need to put them girls that can't make 135 at featherweight and build up that 135 division on its own and build up the 145 division by signing some of these other girls, you know, that are featherweights. You know what I mean? The ones that are featherweights, okay? And Kayla Harrison, got to put in that work. The hype is gone. The hype is gone. Hype is gone now. Just got to get that work in and, you know, get down there with the blue-collar fighters and the champions. Get that mindset with the champions that took L's and bounced back. You know, ain't nobody going to spoon feed you anymore, not even the PFL, right? So, yeah, what else? Tyler Santos. Good strategy move. Tyler's a troll now. She getting at Valentina. Do it. Keep on doing it until you get that fight. Casey O'Neill. Yes, she'll probably be coming back. Let's get that Jennifer Maia fight ASAP. Tatiana Suarez. Cynthia Calvillo. I think that's the best we can do, right? Let's do that. Orgado. Marina Rodriguez versus Joanna. I don't think so. let's do Rose or Esparza. Yeah, that's much better. Right. So, yeah, guys, let's wrap this thing up before I go. Shout out to everybody that's tuning in and make sure y'all subscribe to the show. Y'all know where to subscribe now. Yeah, you know, y'all know. Let's keep this thing growing. Let's get to 3K next. Get to 3K. Maybe I'll start popping up physically. You know, maybe I'll start popping up. Maybe I'll start, you know, pulling my camera up too, you know, just to do something different. Maybe I'll start showing my face every now and then. Occasionally. I ain't going to say from now on, but maybe I'll come on and, you know, do something a little different. I'm definitely going to do more breakdowns and stuff like that. Shout out to a Jesse Goodman in my chat. You know, he had asked me to do some other type of videos as well. But, you know, I've been doing some, but, you know, other type of videos as far as going into mental of fighters and breaking some things down. And I've done a few like that, but I've been lacking on those too. So, yeah, I'll hit y'all with some stuff like that, definitely. So, yeah, again, shout out to everybody in the chat always tuning in. And, yeah, like always, Combo Breaker 99. I'll catch y'all in the next one. Make sure you tune in to your favorite WMMA podcast. I think I can say that now, right? It's your favorite WMMA podcast, CB, hashtag CB99 Talks. I'm out. Subscribe. Peace.